Dr. Leakey, the great anthropologist?
I am, but not knowledgeable enough to...
I mean, I'm not questioning that, but you're familiar with that name?
Yes.
All right. His son, I listened to a 20-minute interview by his son. He said, the theory of we evolved from swamp gas into the physical is a bunch of nonsense. We have found a perfectly formed boy that is about 14 years old that is 2.5 million years old. Perfectly formed. An African boy. But you don't hear the academia, you know, mentioning that or asking further questions. So all I'm saying is that for me, and what I have found is that Genesis 1-1 and Genesis 1-2 and the gap theory, I think, is a reality, along with the Quasar theory.
Very interesting. This all ties to the alien agenda because we are...
Yes. That's the important point, Paul.
Now, some are suggesting that the aliens are going to manifest. They're going to show up and say, they created us. And that seems to be a compelling narrative that's on TV and is kind of bandied about in a number of circles. How do you respond to that, Stu? Joe, what say you?
Okay, this is what I have found, because what they're talking about is that they're talking about the writings of Zachariah Sitchin.
Yes.
Okay. Zachariah Sitchin is the one that put forward the idea that we are a creation of the aliens. But you have to go back into the story of Zachariah Sitchin, and they found out that he was not a real etymologist. Then you really get into the exopolitics side of things from certain people that are at a high level, like the George Bushies, that Zachariah Sitchin himself was an alien, a fallen angel alien, which would then fit into the idea that we created you. Now, some people will say, oh, that is crazy. Well, Stu has a friend named Ed Slade, who met one of the fallen angel aliens at Pyramid of the Sun, Pyramid of the Moon, in Mexico City, and he told Ed Slade specifically, we created the Aztec and the Maya, or rather the Aztec.
And Ed Slade, folks, was a U.S. scientist that answered the Meyer Rothschild and a Rockefeller first, way back in the 50s. He was credited for the moon landing, the Apollo moon landing, and the rocket propelled system, of which he was pissed off about, that didn't happen and dust blown off the moon. Instead, it was anti-gravity that set down. Now, Ed worked with the aliens, worked with them at Papoose Lake, Nevada, where Daddy Gush used to fly in there with my good friend, his pilot, Harry Ruck. Go ahead.
Okay, so Ed Slade was told this. In other words, they created DNA and then took possession of those indigenous people to control them and make them their slave. So there has been this ongoing battle down through the generations between the seed of Abel and the seed of Cain.
Now, I would ask you a question. You've identified it, I think, pretty well, Joe. And the question is, what is the seed? The 12 tribes of Israel, were they in existence, basically, on the planet that you're aware of?
They're not. Not, but the genome is. And those 12 tribes, I've already, two of them, Manasseh and Ephraim. And this is where you get into a big battle in with the Christian nationalists, or rather the white nationalists and the Christian identists. They battle over this. And Germany, England, Scotland, Ireland, France were the receptors of those tribes. And you get into the story of Tuatha De Danann in Ireland and Jeremiah. And that gets into another long, deep rabbit hole, which we don't want to confuse people. But the idea is that the genome was passed on from the tribes, the genome.
Well, this is very expansive information, and I'm a guy that probably by 14 had read the Bible five times cover to cover, and English, of course, being seven root languages, is not the best translation for the Hebrew and the Greek, and I have to say that some of this information challenges me because it's information that I'm aware of but have never been taught. Now, I want to go to Zechariah just a minute here and talk about Jerusalem, because Stu mentioned that really this goes to the Greater Israel Project and they're going to rule the world from Greater Israel. And Zechariah, I believe, twice talked about Jerusalem. Once he mentioned that Jerusalem would be the burdensome stone, and also a cup of trembling. And I love conversations like this because I get to learn. Where do you think we are, Stu? Where do you think we are, Joel, on timeline? It seems to me that America is in total chaos by design. I'm not sure who Donald Trump is exactly. I think he's God's chosen person, but I think he's Israel's guys first, and maybe that's his role. Maybe that third temple is what's got to happen here, and I don't know how far off we are from the third temple.
Joe, why don't you pick it up first?
All right. If you want to understand who Trump is and not be pulled this way and that way, because he is now being dubbed with the dubious title of Mr. Mercury. And if you've ever seen mercury from a thermometer and looking at the thermometer and letting the mercury roll out there, it goes off in all directions. You don't know what Donald Trump is going to say on the next move. But we know for without a doubt, the people behind Donald Trump, he was not this isolated individual person. He was sponsored by a group called the Mega Group. And you'll have to go to Whitney Webb's articles. There's three of them, and it will explain to you. Now, when you talk about the resurrection of the temple, you have to go to a theory beginning with the Schofield Bible called dispensationalism. And Schofield was controlled by men like Samuel Utemeyer, who was one of those that helped to form the Federal Reserve, and that was to get people to get their support for the future state of Israel. Simply what they did, they took the King James Version of the Bible, removed the commentary, put in their own commentary, and that became the Schofield Bible. And there is where you get Billy Sunday, you get, let's see, who else, the Moody Institute, you get Catherine Kuhlman, Benny Hinn, and all of these people who are great supporters for the State of Israel.
John Hagee.
the TV evangelists, all they're doing is promoting dispensationalism. It's a theory. So when we say, when is the temple going to be built, that is a theory developed by the Jews themselves. And that itself can be traced all the way back, to Ignatius of Loyola, who was a Jew himself, that he and six others started the Jesuits. The Jesuit society was a Jewish society. And early on, you had to be a Jew if you were part of it. And so it was started with Dutch Jew money and Spain money to start the Society of Jesus. And it's called Futurism. And then it developed all of its way down, and they dusted it off and created dispensationalism. And it was really to support the state of Israel. So when you say about the Third Temple and things like that, that is what they, particularly the Chabads, are pushing. It's their development and the return of the Messiah.
I'm amenable to what you are explaining, Joel. Could you give me your take on all roads lead to Rome, and that Rome is the belly of the beast and responsible for the beast system? Where do the Jesuits fit in? Where does Rome fit in?
Okay, keep in mind that at the time, this was the Inquisition, and many of the Inquisitors were Jews themselves, because what that did, it forces the Jew back into being a Jew. And so eventually, by 1609, the Jews controlled all of the major banks of Europe and England. And he who has the money is the one that carries the big stick and speaks, and you do what they say. And that is how they got control of the Catholic Church. And it is well known that the Pope does not run Catholicism.
And remember,
the general of the Jesuits.
Remember, real quick, the Catholic Church was formed as organized religion to stop the Christians from their faith, folks. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, now, I don't get into that of what Stu was talking about. And what people are very confused about, there is not just one Catholic Church. That is called the Roman Rite. All of the churches are to the descendants of the disciples. And you have the major denominations were the Anglican Communion, the Roman Catholic Communion, the Ethiopic Communion, the Coptic Communion, and the Eastern Orthodox churches. They did not come and evolve out of the Roman Catholic Church. That is a twist of what I call the chubby checker dance of confusing people. Each of those rites that I mentioned to you are independent. They are not under papacy. And the papacy is not a divine office. There is only bishops, priests, and deacons. Those are the only divine offices, in other words, positions in a church. There was no other papacy. There's no papacy. It is a made-up office created by the times and conditions right after the death of Peter. So there's a lot of confusion out there concerning, is it the Catholics that are behind it? Who's behind it? Well, it still is. The fallen angel, alien, and the number one goal for them are the Jews. Then they say, well, what about all these people that are not Jews? Well, Adam Weishaupt, Jacob Franks, Amsel Rothschild created the Illuminati. And they were to bring in the Gentile into what we would call Satanism. So it kind of goes, I always like to call it, the Draco, reptilian, the insectoids, tall and short grays, the Khazars, and the Illuminati. And there you have a schismatic thing to look at to decide, well, who's who and what's what. It all goes back to what Stu has talked about. It goes back to those gray men society.
So the gray men would be...
I'll just inject something. Folks, I'm not anti-Semitic at all, either one of these gentlemen, Paul or Joe. My daughter is Jewish by her mother. It was a mistake. I married her, okay? But where did she come from? Where did her grandparents come from? Ukraine. Go ahead.
Okay, maybe I should put this caveat in there. When we're talking about the Khazars, we're talking about their elitist, not the rank and file. So I should make that clear.
I do have a question about Rome still and the black nobility.
Yes.
And there's a lot of research literature out there to suggest that the black nobility never went away and that they're alive and well across Europe and they are in control of the Vatican. And you are suggesting that the Vatican was infiltrated at least 400 years ago and the black nobility is part of the Gray Man's Khazarian Empire.
Okay, I'll clarify that for you. When you talk about the black nobility, a man by the name of Dr. John Coleman explained who the black nobility is. They are the descendants of the Khazars that came down through the Eastern Roman Empire after they got pushed out by the hordes of Mongolians that came in. And what they did was, is they developed what you call the banking system over decades and decades and decades and decades. The black nobility is still very powerful to this day, and the black nobility are the descendants of the Khazars.
Very interesting. Gentlemen, we are almost over 75 minutes. We'll
go on whichever direction you want to go. If it takes 2 hours to explain this, let's do it.
Right.
Okay.
John Coleman writes this book, and he talks about the Committee of 300. And if I could take you, Stu, and Joel to Psalm 2, I'm thinking, Joel, you could probably recite it, and Stu, I'm thinking you're familiar with it.
I'm very familiar with it. Joel is too. Go ahead.
Where do you think we're at regarding the Psalm 2 prophecy passage where the kings and the rulers of the world conspire and they make plans, and of course the Lord says, no, it's not going to happen. Where do you think we are relative to the tribulation and the end times, the end of days?
I would say eliminate the word tribulation because it's part of dispensationalism. So much of what we have today is wrapped up in that dispensationalism, and it was only a theory. What we have is we have a group of people that have now taken control of cyberspace. They did it through what we call the ARC CPU. And that came from, as Stu knows about, Bill Hamilton. And it was a means by which they could track criminals. And Robert Maxwell, who is the father of Gesselin, and Gesselin is the one who put Epstein and built him up to be an asset. Robert Maxwell and his group stole Promiseware. And they then developed that into what they call the Tolpiot program. And the Tolpiot program was to develop computer science people. And it is mixed up with Unit 8200, which is the counterpart to the NSA, but it's in Israel. And Stu sent a picture and has a picture of that facility. And what they do is all Intel CPUs have a little CPU on top of it called the ARC. And every computer that has the Intel CPU can be penetrated.
I was stolen.
Every company that has that that has an Intel CPU has an ARC on it, and they can go into and shut you down and turn you on or turn you off.
And they can do that? Now, what was the original question here that you had, Paul, for Joel? Because Joel,
my question,
the mastermind. Go ahead.
Joel has explained that the dispensationalist thinking has put people
talking about
this idea.
Tribulation, I believe it was, because there's where we're at as far as time.
Yes.
Let's just look at a bigger picture, okay? You know, I met a ton of super spooks. I was locked up as a political prisoner. I've seen things that nobody's seen. I mean, I can't say nobody's seen. They've seen them. But I think my knowledge is out there a little bit, and that's the reason you asked for me to do this, and I agreed to do it because it needs to be out there. Because what you and both Joel has explained points to where we're at. Now, you were asking about Von Braun and different laws of their architectural plan for New World Order. If you want to touch back on that yourself, go ahead, because it leads to where we're at today. And it's about this Israel. It's about Israel, folks. And let's explain something. Who slaughtered Palestinians? 40,000 of them, and put them in mass graves in 1947. It was the same Jews who handed over the Palestinians, the true Hebrews, Adolf Hitler. Slaughter these. Colonel Michael Aquino. No, fuck, he's dangerous. I had one of his goons on me. General Raphael Tan was his goon at the time. They were working together, Mossad. Milman, my ex-father-in-law that was never a father-in-law to me, the alien possessed that took over for Meyer Lansky. And Meyer Lansky was the Jewish mob don. When he died, that thing that was in him jumped in Milman, the alien. Lucky Luciano had one in him already. Lucky, by the way, is Pelosi's father's buddy, Nancy Pelosi. She's a Jew, folks. She's not an Italian. And she's an alcoholic, and she's a New World Order pig, and I think she's possessed. But here's the deal. In the structure, Joel mentioned it before about the mega group that Whitney Webb has. She is a scholar. I'm agreeing with Joel on that in her writings. Now, she did fabulous research to find out where a lot of her research came from. Now, but she does great work. She tied the Meyer-Lansky connection, which is the Brahmins, to the game, which Joel was talking about controlling the pedophile thing. Just got murdered. Epstein. Now, that's that group she talks about. But she never touched on the Milman side of it, which is the Meyer-Lansky original controller. She touched on what she knew and et cetera. Now, what's interesting is what jumped out of my ex-in-law in 2004 when he keeled over, jumped in Larry Mizell. He was the inhabiting. That's the new body, one of the 12. Now, with money, by the way, $150 trillion that he had, okay, according to Otis Johnson and other super spooks, how much money controlled. Now, Larry Mizell and the Brofman family, Seagram 7, the booze, bought the Bank of Israel in 2004, 2006, whichever it was, illegally. It was a state-owned bank. They bribed Omar, the president of Israel, and he sold them the bank. Now, there was a gangster, a third partner, out of New Jersey someplace, that was a third partner that was under U.S. federal indictment at the time that they bought the Bank of Israel. Now, since the Bank of Israel, Omar, by the way, was charged with bribery, and he won his freedom through the Supreme Court of Israel. Now, he's in jail today because he's been charged 12 times with bribery, and he's in jail today where they made one stick. He's got 6 years sentence. I think he's been in there for about a year or two. That was President Omar of Israel taking bribes from Larry Mizell in Denver over the Bank of Israel and the connection to the mega group, which controlled basically Epstein. I just want to point that out. Now, Larry Mizell is an interesting character. He's controlling Meyer Lansky's original Power Financial, Power Bank of Canada, the largest bank in Canada. It was involved with Royal Bank, its subsidiary bank, which was involved with all kinds of Iran-Contra affair stuff, including the Louisiana governor who went to jail during the period of time back in the 1990s, late 80s, 90s, 1990s, early 90s. There's a lot of connections with a lot of banks. People have to understand. This is one of the guys, this Larry Mizell, who owns 90% of the oil wells in Israel today. 90% of them, folks, are the gas, future oil wells. Off the coast of Palestine, where the Palestinians, the true Hebrews, are trapped in after being slaughtered their entire, and they had escape where they could when they formed the State of Israel right after Adolf Hitler's game, and then the UN officially gives it title in 1948 as the State of Israel. Now, it's run by a bunch of gangsters today. Larry Mizell is an APEC director, the American-Israeli Pact, which can give unlimited funds to the United States, Congress, Senate, and whoever else they want. His partner, law school partner, was Norman Brownstein, who happened to be graduated in 72. I'm making a point. The control box with Israel and America. I'm pointing to it. Now, graduating in 72, they both went to work for Leonard Milman.